This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Our House, Joy 94.9's program about where and how we live in our diverse community. A big thank you to Rory and, of course, for the last program of...
Beyond the Binary.
Thank you, Paul. We will explore all aspects of real estate, but please seek professional advice before making financial decisions. My name is David Gale.
Hello, Mr. Gale. My name is Russ Masterton.
Hey, Russ.
How are you?
Already and raring.
I'm raring for another rates check. My name is Russ Masterton. Whether you're buying or selling, renting or sharing, upsizing or downsizing, or just thinking about where you'd like to live, this is the GLBTI Real Estate Show for you.
And
it
you.
It is indeed.
And you.
And yeah. All of us and you. And I'm Paul McClure, and there's one criteria for the music that we play on Our House, and that is that it must have something to do with houses or homes. But as always, we look forward to your questions. If you'd like to send us a question about what we talk about tonight on the show, during the show, ideas, comments, questions, send it by email on air at joy.org.au, by SMS 0427 joy949. That's 0427 569 949. Don't phone in because Gordon is just saying goodbye. Bye, Gordon.
Is Gordon going? The Gordon's gorgeous going. Gordon's
oh,
goodbye,
to be
Gordon.
Sure,
but
to be sure.
You can call. Well, yeah, the SMS is probably the best way.
Yeah, or email.
Hey, what's up tonight? Russ?
Well, for those who don't know, Paul is our DJ, our resident DJ. He's called DJ Layer. So if you've got any songs with the word house in it, send them through to DJ Layer, please. On tonight's show, we'll be talking to Justin Inverarity about his experience of buying his first home.
Oh, another one at
that
last.
That is so exciting. I tell you, once you get over that first step, and you're in the market, you are well and truly in.
That's what we're going to be picking up some tips, maybe.
Absolutely,
I hope so.
We will.
I need them. I
and what the experience is like.
Of course, we're looking at current rates in the marketplace and some of the sales over the past weekend in our Rich Check segment.
Love it.
We'll be checking in with Rosemary and her luscious garden. And, of course, we'll be listening to...
Lurts.
On Days of Our...
Lurts.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we are on a real estate journey with you. Ooh. And we're not experts, so we get
no,
the experts.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We're learning, though.
We are learning. I know, I pick up something every week.
Yeah.
And I pick
and
up tips as well.
Tips on the real estate show. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
We get the experts in so they can share their experience with us and with you.
Hi, come on in to Our House on Joy 94.9.
And yes, you're on Our House with David, Russ and Paul. And this is the serious part of the show where we hope to pass on some information to you about mortgage rates and what's happening in the mortgage loan industry.
I don't know whether I'd call it serious. I think I'd just call it my favourite segment.
Well, you know, we have a bit of fun, don't we?
Well,
now, look, I am excited. Now, it's not often I get excited, but it would appear.
Is. Come on.
It would. Thank you, darling. It would appear the federal government is going to do something about our dilemma with not enough affordable housing.
What are they going to do?
We are now, Melbourne and Sydney, we are in the top 10 in the world for the least affordable houses.
So good if you own.
Good
bad
if you,
if you
own,
don't.
But bad if you don't, correct. Yeah. So the federal government has got a minister. Now, very typical of government bodies, I couldn't find who that minister was.
Right. So, what are they calling the minister?
Well, I'm assuming it's the Minister for Infrastructure, but it doesn't actually say anything on there he's the Minister for Housing. but his name is Darren Chester. So if anyone knows if Daz is the Minister for Housing, I'd like you to message in so we know. Daz was saying today that he's very excited about his appointment as the Minister of Infrastructure, and what he plans on doing is talking to developers. This is all perhaps it's going to happen, is about doing huge tax breaks to developers so more houses and flats are being built.
Sounds like a Conservative government jobs for the boys. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that.
No, you can't say that.
But I can't? I won't say that.
I love the fact that you're saying it.
Well, you know, look, I mean, that's just my opinion. I have no idea what it's about because I haven't read any reports on this. So,
well, the other interesting thing is Scotty Morrison.
Yeah, the Treasurer.
Yeah, he's off in the UK at the moment under the umbrella. Under the umbrella that the UK had an affordable housing dilemma many moons ago, and he's chuffed up there to find out how they handled it. So,
well, I think London has some of the highest priced housing in the world as well. So they've obviously, you know, done the right thing and made it the most expensive city to live in as well.
Now, of interest, there has been the National Rental Affordability Scheme that has been around since 2002, and over that time they've built more than 38,000 homes. So there is something in place to bring down the price of houses and make sure that there's enough flats and houses for people to rent.
Yeah, 38,000 isn't enough though, and that's to do with affordable housing for people to rent.
But I thought it was kind of nice to finally hear that stuff's on the radar because, you know, I was sitting there watching the news tonight and I thought all you hear is negativity from every side of government, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And it was just nice that, you know, we have this lovely real estate program and they were actually talking about the fact, yes, we acknowledge there's a housing problem. Mm. We're going to try to do something about it. So I don't vote for them.
I'm sorry, but it sounds like you're being caught up by their spin.
Well, I might have been, but it would be nice if they do something about it. You know,
yeah.
I'm trying to remain positive.
Okay.
So, rates this week. I have no idea. Can you both explain to me what is the difference between a fixed and a variable? I know.
We've
covered this before, but I'd like a fixed loan rate.
Yep. A fixed loan rate is where you agree with your bank or your mortgage provider to pay a fixed amount over a term. It might be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it is.
Yes,
and basically you're locked into that, so you can't change it. And if rates go up, well, that's good. You've won. If rates go down, maybe you've lost a little bit. But at the same time, it provides you with surety. You know you're going to be paying a certain amount, and that's not going to change at all whether the rates go up or down. Variable rate is just whatever the banks decide to set. And we've talked about the variable rate may actually look like moving independent of the RBA decision.
Yes.
It's what the banks say, okay, this is what we're prepared to lend you at, but that will change at different times.
Okay.
And you can also get a loan. You can get a home loan with part of it fixed and part of it variable as well.
Oh, that's interesting. We should do a segment on that. So this week I have focused on the fixed rates for you.
Yeah.
Yep. So the cheapest fixed rate out there is currently with CUA. And CUA have a fixed rate home loan offer for 2 years for 3.84%.
A little bit higher than we were used to last
the
year, remember?
Right, exactly right.
Yeah, well.
And they'll allow you to borrow 95%. Maximum borrowing is $5 million.
So but at the same time, last week we were talking about the banks saying, you know, we will possibly move independently. So locking in a fixed rate, I can't give you the financial advice because I'm not a financial advisor, but you might want to talk to a professional, but it might be the time to be setting your home loan. And if you get a, what was that for a 3 to 5 year, how
two,
many?
Two.
2 years.
Yep.
You know, it could save you some dollars, or it might take some money off what you owe later on and shorten the length of your loan.
Well, of the big four,
ultimately, yeah.
NAB comes in again. We love NAB. Every week they're in there, and they were at Midsummer. They're gay friendly, lesbian friendly too. NAB's choice package is 3.98%.
A little bit higher again.
A little bit
Remember
higher
last
again,
year,
but you can lock yourself
lower.
In for 2 years.
Yep. And is that their intro one? Their What was it called? It was the intro rate that they had.
It's the Choice Package Home Loan.
Ah, that's a different one.
Mm-hmm.
Different package.
Yep. No application fee and
up to 95%.
So there you go.
Oh, well.
Other things I found of interest this week, that's the rates check.
Yeah, that's
we've gone into fixed. You know, when you borrow a house and it's your first time, borrow for a house, you will be allowed to borrow more if you can get mortgage insurance.
Now,
did you know that?
Okay, mortgage insurance kicks in. If you only have less than 20% deposit,
correct,
you have to pay mortgage insurance. And it is a one-off fee that you pay, and it's usually added to your loan as well. It can be in the thousands of dollars. Now, depending on who you choose as a mortgage provider, and if you're using a maybe a mortgage broker or something, they'll be able to explain it even further because they're comparing across the market. But if you have less than 20% as your deposit, you pay mortgage insurance. I know with my first place, I had 95% loan, so I only had 5% of the purchase price, and I paid mortgage insurance of about $7,000. Do you know what? It was worth every cent to get in the market to pay that.
Absolutely.
But if you've saved up more, well, you won't have to pay that. But if you've got only 19%, you'll still pay mortgage insurance.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Just some figures for you. If you need to borrow $200,000 to buy a flat,
well, that will buy
with mortgage insurance, you only need a $10,000 deposit.
Yeah.
Without mortgage insurance, you need a $40,000 deposit.
Yeah, exactly. So 20%.
Huge, huge the difference. So the best way to get mortgage insurance is obviously to have your deposit there, have a good credit rating, prove to people that you can save money, keep all your tax returns from the last couple of years. But if you can get mortgage insurance, you can get into the marketplace much quicker because you only need a 5 or 10% deposit.
And do you know why you have to have that mortgage insurance?
Why do you?
Well, because the bank is saying, or the lender is saying, if we have to, because if we have to foreclose on this property,
it's a bit risky,
we may or may not get the full amount that you paid. You might have paid above market or below market, but you might have paid above market. And it's basically that insurance premium is for them to put it to market and get whatever they can for it. And that's to cover them just in case.
All right. We're very quick now on our auctions for the week.
How many were there this week?
Oh, very, very quiet week again in this Sleepy Hollow. I don't understand what's going on. We only had 71 auctions last weekend, but that's double from the weekend before. We had an 88% clearance rate. 6 were sold prior to auction. 34 were sold at auction. Now, we do have some interesting figures here, which I found absolutely extraordinary. At Knoxfield, you could buy a 6-bedroom house for only $855,000. So if you and all of your camp friends wanted to congregate and do a drag show in Knoxfield, you could do that there.
Which is absolutely 6 bedrooms. Six, I wonder how many garages there. There's probably 7 garages as well.
Similarly, in Ravenscourt, you could buy a 5-bedroom house for $930,000. Port Melbourne.
Where on earth is Ravenscourt?
I don't know. Paul's looking that up for us as we speak. The most expensive, and I always find this interesting, Mount Waverley.
Yeah.
Mount Waverley went for $1,390,000 this week. I know. Can you believe it? $1,390,000.
Must be on the top of Mount Waverley. Maybe it's next door to the police academy.
We lived in Glen Waverley. It's not that fabulous there.
Oh, that's only Glen, though. Next to the police academy, so it'd be very safe there, I expect. Yeah.
Now, I need a drum roll for the best buy of the week. You're not going to believe this. It's enough to make me wet my pants. If you are looking for a 4-bedroom house, you need to move on out to Melton West with all the homosexies out there.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you can get a 4-bedroom home, lock, stock and smoking barrel for only $340,000.
Oh, my goodness.
What? I know.
Connolly Drive never looked so good.
I know. I'm ready to get out there.
Even Melton South. It was not even Melton, but Melton West.
Yeah. Do we know where Ravenscore is?
Go west, young man.
I did a bit of a googly on it and it's... There's a Ravenscourt court in Tottenham, but I don't know if that's the actual suburb of Ravenscourt.
Well, you know, I reckon all of these houses with 5 or 6 bedrooms, I think that's the way to go because you could have your own little rave party there. And,
and you could Airbnb some of those rooms as well, couldn't you? You pay off your mortgage faster.
I mean, you remember in the olden days, I can remember being, you know, a wee young 20-something and there were 10 of us living in a house in Brunswick. It doesn't matter that we had a big party there and the back fence fell down and the police arrived, but that's what you do when you're young. You get out there and you have a great time. So if you're looking to do that again, you could go out to any of these suburbs.
Thanks, Russ, for your impeccable research. That's our rates check for the week.
A community
You're
message
listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
One of the things that we often talk about on Our House is getting into your first home.
Yeah.
Now, I remember getting into my first home. Russ does as well. Paul, you're still trying.
Mm.
So tonight, I thought, what a great idea if we can get somebody that we know that bought their first home, and that's why we've asked Justin in tonight. Welcome, Justin.
Hi, everyone. It's nice to be here.
At Joy 94.9, isn't it exciting? We're just here to have a bit of fun. But part of the whole bit of having fun is passing on experience such as yours. Now, you bought your first home, was it last year or the year before?
It was last year. It was last year in April.
Okay. And did you ever dream of owning your own home?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I dreamt of, but it's not something that I thought was going to be achievable.
Something that a lot of people think.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we feel in this program is that, you know, a lot of us go, look, you know, I really want to own my first home, but it's out of reach. It's not going to happen. It's not easy to do. It's not like buying a shirt. You go in and just buy a shirt. It's a much longer term thing, but you were able to achieve that.
That's right.
And just for our listeners' benefit, Justin, how old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay, 32. So you were 31 when you bought, which is a great age to enter the market.
Yeah.
So good for you. And what made you want to buy your own home?
I think there are a few reasons. I think I was having lots of conversations with family. A few of my friends were entering the market. It sounded like a good investment for, you know, I'm in a position at the moment where I've been in my job for a while. I feel secure and stable, so I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to expand on.
And this pulls back always to the stuff that we talk about with regards to having a good credit rating, having a stable job, and so you would have found it very easy to pick up a home loan because you've done your homework there as far as, you know, you've got your bank statements from the past few years. Did you have any problems picking up the loan at all? Or?
No, not really. I mean, I was very lucky. I went to a mortgage broker and he was fantastic, and he sat down with me and told me everything that I needed to get to apply to get pre-approval for the loan. And over the period of about, I don't know, 1 or 2 months, you know, I'd been approved. I had pre-approval for a certain amount. Yep. So I had an idea of how much I could spend on my first home.
Yeah, we've also had mortgage brokers on the program. We certainly had one in one of our earlier shows, which you can check out the podcast. But, you know, by at least visiting a mortgage broker who costs you absolutely nothing, he will sort of put you in the right direction. He'll say, no, you can't borrow at the moment. Maybe you just need to do a few more hours at the shop or whatever. Mm. Or he'll say, this is the sort of area that you can buy in because this is how much you can borrow on your current income level and what you're doing. So you would have found out, oh, right, I didn't realise I could borrow this and actually look for a property worth this amount.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was kind of surprising how much.
Would you like to tell the listeners who your mortgage broker is at all?
Yeah, it was with Rams, actually.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So
now, so you suddenly found out I can go and buy a property worth so-and-so. So what did you do? You just went around looking everywhere, or you certainly not Sunshine West or anything like that, but you, what, chose an area that you wanted to live in?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I didn't know when that I'd get the opportunity to do that again, so I wanted to buy somewhere where I wanted to live.
Yeah.
I've always lived in the inner north, so I looked around the Brunswick area and found something in my price range.
So instead of going, oh, look at that place over there, I love the look of that place, I'll never be able to afford that, you went, oh, this is what I can realistically do and this is what I can actually achieve.
Yeah, it was a series of steps over a long period of time. I think the whole process took about 6 months.
That's what I was going to ask you.
It's still reasonably short, actually.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Some people look for a house for like a year or two years or whatever, but, you know, maybe they're being a little bit unrealistic sometimes. But yeah, 6 months is amazing. So what did you find? What did you actually settle on in the end?
I ended up with a 2-bedroom apartment in Brunswick, just close to Jewell Station.
New, old, what is it?
It's 6 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what a nice size.
Yeah, it's 2 stories, so the bedrooms are upstairs.
Wow.
There's toilet, bathroom, galley kitchen downstairs and a lounge room with a balcony. Yeah.
And sort of how much ballpark
did
you pay?
Entertaining.
Yeah.
Fabulous for entertaining.
As you go off into the internet, how much sort of did you pay for?
Less than $500,000
for it. That's pretty good. Mm. And I mean, you know, I suppose trying to find the place that, you know, not everything's going to be a bargain, but, you know, you've got to keep on looking and see what's happening. Did you check out, like, with certain search engines, like, I don't know, I think there's realestate.com and there's a couple of others. Did you sort of, like, make up favourites lists or anything like that? Or
yeah, it definitely became kind of an obsession there for a while.
Yeah.
No, it was a good experience. I mean, looking is the fun part. It's probably the negotiation on the price and the sale of contract, which is the challenging part.
Who did you take with you while you were looking?
I took my parents. I took some friends of mine that had a lot of experience in purchasing and... Yeah, that was it, really. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be something you do by yourself.
Doesn't need to be a daunting thing. You can ask for help.
Yeah. And the mortgage broker also does an assessment on the property. So if you make an offer, he'll come in and do an assessment because they won't give you the loan if they don't think it's close to the price that you're going to be purchasing it for.
Yeah. So how many places do you think you looked at along the way, Justin?
Oh, I don't even know. Like, maybe not 100, but...
It felt like...
Like 10, 20, 30, I don't know. A lot.
And was this the one that you wanted?
Absolutely. I was kind of set on the apartment block. I really liked the area, and I really liked the way the apartments looked. And I just kind of... And there were a few going in the apartment complex, so I just was patient and waited for the right one to come up.
Excellent. So, and for our first home buyers, so your first step was to go and see a mortgage broker.
That's right.
Find out how much you could borrow.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then you did your homework and the traipsing of the streets in Brunswick. You knew you wanted to live there, and so you knew on a paper how much you wanted to spend and what flats cost in Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just a matter of, you know, attending a few auctions to see where you could dip your little toe in and get a place. Yeah,
that's right.
And also asking for some help. Now, we're going to come back and talk about that in a moment because, you know, as we say, we're not the experts, but we need to ask the experts. In the meantime, do you have any pot plants there?
Well...
Do you have any pot plants at your apartment?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, it's funny you should mention that because what have we got coming up now?
We've got Rosemary's Garden.
Oh, she'll tell you all about taking care of those pot plants, I can tell you.
She will indeed. Are you there, Rosemary?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good.
Hey, welcome Rosemary, back. How are you this week?
I'm well, thanks. And yourself?
Oh, look, you know, we're just here glad that the cool changes come through. But, you know, I mean, it wreaks havoc with the garden. But that summer weather, it's wet and it's dry and it's sunny. Everything humid. Must be growing like you wouldn't believe.
And yesterday was so hot.
I know.
Yes.
What are we talking about tonight, Rosemary?
We're talking about geraniums.
Oh, I love them.
Everybody
I've got them in
knows
pots.
What a geranium looks like. Russell, you know what a... You give me a funny look there.
No, I do. I've got brilliant blood red geraniums coming out at home at the moment, Rosemary, and I love them.
I have got them right down my drive.
Aren't they beautiful? They're spectacular, aren't they?
Are they easy to grow?
Very easy to grow.
Well, what are some tips you can give us about growing geraniums and keeping them alive, especially in this weather?
Keeping them alive. Geraniums don't take a lot of water, but you need to water them deep when you do water them.
Ah, okay.
So, like, maybe once a week or once a fortnight, depending
once
on the weather?
Week, deep water.
Okay, so give them heaps, but just do it once a week.
But not every day.
Yes,
they're pretty indestructible, aren't they?
I don't know. You can bump them off if you don't look after them.
Hey, Rosemary, can you overwater? I just, at this time of the year, I'm one of these freaks that the minute it gets over 30 degrees, I think I've got to do the front and the backyard so the plants survive. Am I right on track there, or should I just leave it every couple of days?
Every couple of days.
Okay, all right, good advice.
They don't need to be watered every day. Now, your hydrangeas need to be looked after.
Yeah, they're thirsty plants, aren't they?
They're thirsty plants.
Yeah.
So are dahlias.
Yeah. Okay, but geraniums, tell me, should I clip back my geraniums every now and then? When should I do that?
February,
just like that. February is when I should snip them back a little bit, and what new growth will come out of that, and then more flowers.
And the new growth will come out of that, and it gets a chance to get established before it gets really cold.
Now, just out of interest too, you gave us some advice for Russ's hydrange last week.
Yes.
How did it go, Russ?
Well, it's still looking a bit sad, but you know, I've done everything I can. I'm hoping that it's not the end of the plant, but I'm trying to look after it. Anyway, I did what you said, Rosemary, and that's all that matters. Just on another tangent, Rosemary, we have Justin in the studio tonight. He's just bought a home. Are there any pot plants or plants you would recommend for a new home buyer that isn't going to take a lot of maintenance for someone who's not a green thumb?
In an apartment?
Well, where has he got
What, do you got a balcony?
Yeah, I do. It's north facing.
North facing, yeah. Balcony, and you're able to keep it so that you don't get the hot winds and everything there.
Yeah, that's right. It's sectioned off.
Pardon?
It's sectioned off.
Right. So,
well, what about geraniums?
Try all your cactuses.
Cactuses. Oh, well.
Right.
Thank you.
With a mixture of geraniums, I hope.
Yeah, you can put, but just be careful about your geraniums. You need, they're not an inside-y sort of a plant, but you can, all your cactuses, you're right.
Okay. Yeah.
Beautiful. Good tips. Thanks, Rosemary, again, and we'll have another chat with you next week.
Okay.
Ta-da, Rosemary.
Bye, Rosemary.
The kettle's on. You're listening to Our House.
We're back on Our House. My name's Russ. I'm here with David Gale and Paul McClure. We've got a special guest in tonight, Justin Inverarity. Now, Justin, you have bought this fabulous two-bedroom house in Brunswick. It's your first house. Have you lived in it?
No, actually, I haven't. when I bought it, some things were changing, and I ended up getting two really good friends of mine to move into my rental. So I didn't want to give that up to move into the apartment, so I've continued living with them.
Oh, nice.
I'm excited because now the place that you've bought is negatively geared.
That's right.
I'm very excited.
It's a whole other show.
Well, we had one while you were away about negatively gearing, which we can always recap, or you can check out the podcast, Russ. I know you were listening to them while you were in Argentina.
I couldn't get enough of them.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Absolutely.
So you've negatively geared this property. This is great.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
I've got tenants at the moment.
You've got great tenants. So there should be no fear around tenants. These are personal friends of yours, obviously, are they? Or they were already in the property, am I right?
They were already in the property.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I got them to move into my rental.
Right.
And then I rented out my apartment.
Okay. Gotcha. And who are you living with?
I live with two beautiful drag queens.
Oh, you lucky thing.
Dandrogyny and Jandrews.
I was going to say, do you want to give them a shout out? But you've done that already.
And they're part of Midsummer, aren't the boys?
They are. Okay. I think Dandrogyny is performing at the after party for Midsummer Pride March at Crisco. And Jandrews is part of an amazing group called... oh, my God, why can't I think of it right now? I'm going to get in trouble.
At Gasworks.
At Gasworks, yeah.
I know the ones you mean, but I can't remember their name either.
It's a Midsummer Hub. Also, will they be at the 86? Because they're doing the Dragathon this Friday night. It starts on Friday afternoon and goes right through till early hours of Sunday morning. Will they be at the Dragathon?
They will be. They'll be at the 86. I'm not sure if they're performing.
There will be drags on the stage for 35 hours, so we're going to pop down there, Russ.
And there'll be lots of great performers there.
The reason we digress into drag at the moment is Justin is a classic example of the type of house that makes up our community. So, you know, there's two drag queens and the lovely Justin that live in this house, and that to me is wonderful.
Yeah. Can I just interrupt? My housemate just messaged me. The show is yummy.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah, yummy.
I have to say to your
house. It's amazing. I've seen it multiple times. I don't know why I couldn't remember it.
No, well, exactly. And before the show, you mentioned it, so it just went out of your head while you're on air. Because...
And while we're on Midsummer, of course, your beautiful partner is working in Midsummer this week. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Another plug. Who's your partner, Justin?
His name's Dale.
Shout out to Dale.
Gorgeous Dale. Okay.
Look, talking about messages, we have actually received a couple of SMSs. One has come from Brad, who said, given the cost of housing, perhaps the person holding the title of housing minister could also be the Minister for Sustainability. On a state level, it's Martin Foley. Thank you, Brad, for that message. And also, I'm buying my first home and using a buyer's advocate. Oh. It's the best thing I ever did. Says Nick. So maybe we need to find a buyer's advocate.
I think we need to have a chat with
Or them. Nick, you know, just send us some details and we'll get in contact with a buyer's advocate, because that's another whole program.
So, Justin, did you find that your parents and friends that went with you, you could use them as buyer advocates? Like they weren't, you know, nothing.
Well, like was it an auction that you went to or?
No, I did a private sale.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, auctions terrify me, I have to say.
Yeah, I don't think I would have done very well in an auction setting. And I actually specifically looked at private sale just because I felt more comfortable doing it that way.
Also, did you ask your parents to help you out?
I did. So part of the way that I secured the loan was using collateral for the deposit through them.
So that's basically like a loan guarantee if you're buying a car or something like that. But, you know, that's a way of getting to that goal of owning your first home. And not everybody thinks about it because, you know, we say you've got to ask for help, whether it be advice or whatever. And this is something a little bit more practical. And as long as you're going to be a good homeowner, that costs nothing, but it's going to help you achieve the goal that you're looking for. And that's not something to be thought of as bad. I mean, I think that's a great idea.
So, yeah. Justin, one of the questions I've got for you is we talk an awful lot about auctions on this show, and for me, I've bought my properties via auction. What happens in with a private sale?
Basically, what you do is you speak with the real estate agent and you kind of negotiate on what, you know, you get a loose figure of what the vendor is willing to sell the property for, and then you put in an offer, usually substantially lower than what they're putting in.
Yeah.
Substantially.
And then work from there.
What can we get away with? How low can we get?
Quite a stressful experience.
It sounds like a weekend at Bali.
It was a really good learning curve.
Yeah, it's like trying to get a massage on a Bali beach. So if you put in a ridiculously low one, and I suppose if they said, yeah, fine, we'll take it, you'd sort of sniff a bit of a rat maybe.
Yeah, I guess I'd never really
I haven't thought about it,
but maybe
but
I should have.
Certainly more controlled way of doing it than an auction, yes.
Yeah, I mean, in because you work on your terms,
correct.
I mean, and you get plenty of time to work
think
out.
About
yeah,
it.
Absolutely. To, yeah. Until you sign the sale of contract, then nothing's binding.
Mm. Yeah.
Another question. So I'm always afraid of private sales. They're quite different.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm afraid the real estate agent, and I think they're all con artists. I'm apologising in advance if anyone out there is a real estate agent. I think they're going to ring me up and saying, well, I've got three people looking at it at the moment and your offer's the worst. So at least if I'm at an auction, I've got everybody I know who's bidding is right in front of me.
You can see them.
True.
Yeah, but obviously that wasn't a problem for you, was it, Justin?
No, I guess not. No. I mean, I kind of just navigated my way. I didn't put an outcome on when I put in an offer, and I tried not to I get too attached to it. Yeah, or get too attached to a property that I was putting in an offer for. You know, I mean, I just went with what I was comfortable with, basically.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Funny, we've just received a message to somebody that wants to come in and talk about being a buyer's advocate. We'll certainly take you up on that and we'll turn that into a show coming up soon.
Excellent.
So, yeah, look, I mean, you were also lucky because a couple of the other apartments in that place were for sale as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So at least there was probably, you know, instead of saying, oh, if you don't buy this for this, you're not going to get it, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know how much the other ones went for before you bought yours? Or?
Yeah, I had a general understanding of what the market was for those apartments.
You can always look up previous results on properties. Just go online and do that. Hey, Paul, we're talking with Justin about his first home buy experience.
We are indeed.
Mariah
You're
stuff.
At home with Ooh. David, Russ and Paul on Our House.
You are indeed at home with David, Russ and Paul on Our House and...
Yeah, more SMSs coming through. But
oh,
in the
I was going to go to that.
Sorry,
I will.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Has anyone heard
like
from Rich?
Sands through the hourglass.
What about Brit?
So are the days of our lives.
Yeah. Has anybody heard from Lance? Lance, are you there tonight?
Yes, how are you, Paul and David and Russ?
Hey, Lance, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, what have you been up to in the last week in Days of Our
Lives?
I got rid of a sideboard from the lounge room, which gave me a lot more room to sort things out.
You've been clearing out areas, haven't you, so that you can sort things out?
Trying to, and it's a slow-moving thing, but it's happening.
Hey, weren't you going to get rid of a lounge suite to one of the charities?
I was. Some of the charities seem to be a little bit, you know, particular in what they... looking for, and they decided against it.
I'll have to look
at
the field there.
Hey, Lance, we've got Justin with us tonight, and he bought his first home only last year, and he used RAMS as a mortgage broker. So we thought we might pass that on to you, so you might go and see them to see if they'll be able to help you get your place in Collingwood.
Well, thank you, and thanks, Justin. I appreciate that, and congratulations for you.
Thank you very much.
Also, have you been checking out properties on the net?
Yes, just tonight actually. I found one that I was very interested in, perfect position for me, between Elizabeth and Queen Street in Lonsdale Street.
Okay. Oh, so actually in the CBD itself?
Yes.
That's not far from the Joy 94.9 studios as well. So,
anyway.
So what are you using all the different real estate websites to make a list or anything like that?
No, I've just been looking at the one at the moment. Am I allowed to say what it is?
Yeah, if you like.
It's realestate.com.au.
Okay. I don't think that would come as a surprise to anyone. That's a big one.
Yeah. And yeah, what can you make a favourites list or anything like that, or do you just do searches, random searches, and have a quick look?
I'm still looking. Yeah, I'm still making learning. I'm not in the market yet, unfortunately, but I'm just doing the homework.
And you could spend days on websites like that anyway, I suppose.
Days that I could be cleaning up the house.
Yeah, well, that's true. So keep on cleaning up that house. Look, I was just thinking too, I noticed that some of the charities don't accept certain things from you. Also, you know, they're not junk remover people, and I'm not saying your lounge suite's junk, but they're pretty fussy, some of them. Maybe check with some of the local charities down your way in Frankston and see if there's any community centres or op shops down your way, and see if they want to take your lounge suite instead.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I'll give that a go.
All right. Sure. Look, it's great talking to you, Lance, and we will be catching up for another instalment of Days of Our
Lance
next week.
Thanks, Lance.
Thank you very much.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
Indeed you are. And we do, as David hinted at before, we have another message. Justin, this one's for you. How much is the yearly strata or body corp fee for your apartment, if you don't mind saying it on air?
No, that's fine. I can't remember the exact figure. I think it's roughly around $3,000 or $4,000 a year.
Okay.
We need to do a show on body corps and things like that at some stage. I used to be a chairman of an owner's corp. But also, for you, that's actually tax deductible against your income because you've got a negatively geared property. So I suppose, you know, it pays for the maintenance of your property, but because you're earning income from it, it becomes part of your negative gearing. So that's pretty exciting as well. Look, I suppose in the context of things, that's about $60 a week. And, you know, when you're getting some rent in, even if you're not getting some rent in, it's to keep your place maintained well, and that's important as well.
Mm.
So to keep the memento going on how exciting it is to buy a new property.
Yeah.
Justin, how did you celebrate?
That's a really good question. I don't think I ever did. I probably celebrated with my housemates at some stage.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, there's been lots of celebrations, but I can't remember, like, really... Yeah, having a
Thank
moment.
Thank God we've done it. That's
yeah,
about
I think
it.
It was more relief.
Yeah,
it is like a dream come true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's really beautiful, and I love going to visit.
Have you got any tips for our listeners when it comes to how the process that you went through to purchase your first home?
Probably just be patient.
Mm.
Yeah.
As we say, it's not buying a shirt. It's not like you just walk in off the street and go, oh, you know, I'll have that one over there.
Mm.
It does require a little bit more thought and research. And
yeah.
But is it also a little bit of an emotional thing as well? I mean, you mentioned you went through a lot of places before you settled on the one that you ended up buying. Did you feel like you had a bit of an emotional connection to the place that you bought?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard when you go to view these properties and you say, oh, you know, can I live in this place? And then you start projecting of what it'd be like to live in. And it's hard not to get attached to that idea, at least. Yeah.
Also in buying a rental too. And I, you know, I've bought a rental, which I've since turned into Airbnb. When I bought that, I thought, is this a place that I could picture myself living in? Mm. And I knew that if it was a place that I could live in, I would certainly be happy to own it or rent it. So it sounds
absolutely.
Like you've found
I felt the same way. Yeah.
And that's nice. The other thing I really like about what you've done is that you've got friends living in your rental property. Mm. So for you, it's sort of like, hey, I'd like to come over, and then you can go through with your white glove on and check that everything's clean
white
and tidy,
glove.
Right?
Yeah.
Paul, how has Justin inspired you tonight with regards to, you know, he sounded very motivated and did the whole thing in 6 months.
He did, and I am jealous of that. I think it's great. Justin goes to show that you can do it if you put your mind to it. Obviously, it takes a bit of planning, and it's clear from that he went through that process of planning, and I think very importantly, and this is something obviously we've had mortgage broker on the show before, but I think he took the right first step in seeing a mortgage broker and just setting parameters of what it was he was looking at. So
How much documentation did your mortgage broker require you to bring in to, so you could work out how much did you bring in your bank
I had to provide all my financial statements, right. And I think they did a credit check on me.
And you can get most of that off the net anyway. Yeah. So, you know, like bank statements are always on the net. They're stored on there with whoever you've been earning and saving with and all that sort of stuff. So, but, you know, you get guided through that process well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they'll ring you if you're missing something, and they'll support you or work on your behalf if necessary to make sure that they have all the documentation necessary to get pre-approval for the loan.
Now, just as a segue, you've got a special job that our listeners won't know about, and I might get Paul to talk about that a bit more.
What do you do, Justin?
I'm a youth worker for Melbourne City Mission.
And what does that involve?
In the past, I've worked in youth homeless refuges throughout Melbourne, working with 16 to 25-year-olds who are experiencing or at risk of homelessness. Mm. And now I currently, I'm the team leader for a program called Community Integration Accommodation Options. And we work with young people who are between the ages of 16 to 18 who are in out-of-home care. Which means that the government has deemed that it's no longer safe for them to live in the care of their guardian or parent. Mm. And we provide them with a private rental experience. So what we do is we set up homes. There's usually two young people and two volunteers.
Okay.
And the volunteers usually have a passion in working with young people, and they role model healthy living behaviours. And we have case managers attached with the young people, and they work on anything that the young people identify with, whether it's education, employment, mental health, drug and alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And through that process, have you found, do you work with a lot of LGBTI youth?
Definitely. There's a large component of young people that identify under that banner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be varying. They're coming in because of family breakdown, mental health. A variety of different reasons that young people who identify as LGBTIQ access our service.
It sounds like a really rewarding program.
And important.
And important, exactly right. And so, and the volunteers that they live with are just that. They're not counsellors or anything. It's just people who volunteer to live with these kids to help to get them into their first homes. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So basically all they have to do is role model healthy share house behaviour. And they get rent for free.
Yeah.
And they also get the utilities paid for. And in exchange, they might, you know, do some cooking with a young person, set up a roster for cleaning. Just basic independent living skills that some young people who are in out-of-home care who haven't had the upbringing or haven't had the education on how to do that and give them the opportunity to learn.
Okay.
Fantastic. Wow. Pretty important job. Look, it's been important having you on our house tonight because there are people out there that are still thinking, oh, you know, will I keep on renting? Will I buy a first place? And I think you've inspired certainly Paul and hopefully many of our listeners that, you know, it is possible. You've just got to go through some steps and at least start the ball rolling and see what happens, which is a great thing. Thank you so much for coming in tonight, Justin.
No problem. My pleasure.
And you're listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
I spy with my Vista Eye something beginning with T. Technology.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ripples. I'm amazed at the technology we now have at Vista Eyes compared to 10 years ago. We once just aimed for 20/20 vision or better, but now we also focus on the quality of that vision. Our investment in the latest technology lets us customise the treatment, especially for your eyes.
I Spy with My Vista Eye, your free appointment. Phone 1800 50 50 49. Joy sponsor.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Over 1 million children have been harmed by family violence. One in five women have suffered from domestic violence. And half of those women will be caring for children, like me.
At Berry Street, we know this is all of our problem. Violence is probably happening to someone in our own street. They're our kids. Please Google Hannah at Berry Street and donate today. It's urgent.
For kids like me.
Joy sponsor.
Dina Curry celebrates 10 years of Midsummer. Experience Camp Cabaret, This Show Is Gay, Party Pre-Pride March, Big Queer Brunch, Speed Hating, a fun way to connect. Full details at dinacurry.com.
Joy sponsor.
You have been listening to Our House on Joy 94.9 with David, Russ and Paul.
Oh, is it over already?
It is. It goes so quickly.
Hey, next week we'll be on at 8 p.m. So our new time slot from next week onwards is 8 p.m. Please make adjust your clocks. It's a bit like daylight savings, isn't it?
I am loving your work, Mr.
We're going an hour further forward. So,
I acknowledge our producer tonight for doing me a huge favour. I'm not as young as I used to be, doll.
No. No. Coming up next is the Triple Bypass team.
Yes.
Ruby and the team. So we
fabulous show.
We'll hand over to them, but we're going to leave you on a track. It is My Island Home by Christine Arnoux.
Goodbye.
See you later.
See you next week.
Thanks, Justin.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.